Good morning, Seattle. Good morning, Dallas, Texas. Good morning, Denver, Colorado, and Kansas City, Kansas. Good morning to the railroads. It is Friday, January the 29th, 2021. Thank God it's Friday, just after 9:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And this is your good friend Dan in Little Saigon, Seattle, hanging on to whatever toilet bowl encrustation he can. Are you holding on, baby? Have you held on for a long time? How long have you grasped the edge of the toilet seat? Ukla the Mock could beat up Chewbacca. Yes, Ukla the Mock, friend of Thundar, owner of the Sun Sword. Ukla the Mock, friend of Thundar, friend of Princess Ariel. Covered in hair, looking like a tiger man. Maybe a tiger beast or a tiger friend. So I've been working on a project, and I think it might be crazy, but given that we've been told that, you know, two masks are better than one, and other pieces of information, given where we're at in the great cycle of chaos and trauma monkeys, I've felt inspired to write a, fictional series about the lost prison lectures of Charles Manson. And oh, Dan, why would you do that? Fuck you. Look the fuck around, asshole. Finished up five of these lectures, and the last one was on love. Feel free to listen if you want to. It's up to you. I don't know that it matters. I read today that the next form of test we'll receive for the COVID is the anal swab. Of course, this might be a typo. They might have meant anal squab. Yes, I've read that the next test is an anal swab, But given where we're at and the multiple mask wearing, you don't have a right to trade stocks kind of world we're in, you know, it's okay if a person with $1 billion fucks you with a stock trade. It's okay with a person with $10 billion fucks your pension fund. But God forbid, and I don't mean uppercase, I mean lowercase g, I mean Dagon. Dagon forbid any of you purchase shares in AMC or GameStop or any particular company that's meant to be sacrificed by the Moloch bees upon the altar of bullshit. No, the altar of bullshit, man. You are not meant to question anything, so the anal swab is next. This is where you bend over. You bend over and allow the scientist to insert a tube. Yes, you bend over and you allow the technician, the scientist of the future, the practitioner in the arts of super science and sorcery, sideways alien magic, Motel 6 magic fingers in the bed. That'll just cost you a quarter. And we'll get this party started. But what if it was a typo? As I drink my coffee, what if they meant anal squab, a small bird? Like, what if the real test for the COVID isn't an anal swab? It's taking a small bird and shoving up your butt. And before you say that's crazy, I'll have you see where two masks are better than one. I'll have you see where billionaires are upset that poor people are, like, I don't know, betting against them. I'll have you see where there are coin shortages and Chinese murder hornets. There's monkey herpes everywhere. Yes, in this age of absurdity, this Kafkaesque period of time where Chinese murder hornets might fly up your nose, give you the monkey herpes, so you have to wear two or three masks, have a tube shoved up your ass, and then, you know, cry out in tears for the billionaires, the hedge fund managers who won't have to sell an island or a baby farm. Yes, a farm where they raise babies. They'll have to sell their baby farm in Tunisia because of what happened with their hedge fund bets. Shorty McShorty Pants. You're going to have to sell your cocaine bar and your baby bar. Your baby farm where you raise babies from, you know. Thank you. So yeah, maybe they mean anal squab. I don't really know. At this point, things are so fucked up, I have no idea. So I was on the internet last night. On the internet researching hobo shotguns. Because you never know when you're gonna need a shotgun made out of industrial tubing and whatever shit you can find in your gasoline shop. And I found this really good website, https://homemadeguns.wordpress.com. Link is in the notes. Yes, the link is in the notes. I was on the web last night. I was researching how to make shotguns out of shit you can find in your toolkit. And yes, that's a euphemism, right? Your toolkit. Anywho, I found this cool website, and it's a lot of fucking hobo guns on that fucking website, dude. A lot of fucking weird shotguns that people built out of whatever shit they could find. It kind of made me hopeful. Because, you know, the general statements you'll hear from people who promote the theories of fear and powerlessness is once they take away your guns, you can do nothing. Isn't that the message? Well, now that they took away their guns, they can do nothing. The people that say that are either stupid or they're getting paid. There's a lot of shit you can do when they quote-unquote legally say you can't own a gun. For all the legal bullshit, there's a lot of fucking homemade machine guns showing up in Australia. For all the illegal bullshit, there's a lot of homemade hobo shotguns showing up in France. So, and this is before 3D printers, fuckers. I love 3D printers, but before 3D printers, people learned how to do this. During World War II, the United States military gave people pamphlets on how to do shit like this. How to make your own fucking basement machine guns. So it's weird and funny, and of course I'm sure a number of these things simply explode, but they at least give you the question mark, fuck around and find out, right? Because that hobo fucking ghetto blaster might kill the person firing it, might kill the person they're trying to shoot at, might kill both. But remember, it's safer than having the legal right to carry a weapon. It's way better to have all kinds of dangerous, completely unimaginably interesting fucking hand cannons. Which I prefer. As an anarchist, I do not believe there's such a thing as legal freedom, legal rights. They are oxymorons. It's bullshit. If you want to protect yourself, there's only one person you have to report to, and that's Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus will want to know if you defended yourself or if you murdered somebody. There is a difference, and even though the cops may be clueless, and even though the judge does too much cocaine, and I mean the judge at court, the people's court, Jesus sees it all. He sees what you do. So the only issue with you is between you and Jesus. As far as the rest of it goes, it's bullshit. You know? Have whatever weapon you need. Purchase or buy or build whatever hobo shotgun you feel inclined to. That is your business. Next topic. So I was reading, I'm going to read an article from the Washington Post because it relates, it relates, it deletes. You know what? It's related. This article's related to something I talked about the other day, but before I talk about it, I'm just going to read the fucking article, okay? That's what I'm going to do. Headline, Subway's tuna is not tuna, but a mixture of various concoctions, a lawsuit alleges. The author is Tim Carman, and the pub date is January the 27th, 2021. Subway describes its tuna sandwich as quote-unquote freshly baked bread, layered with, and I quote, flaked tuna blended with creamy mayo, then topped with your choice of crisp fresh vegetables. It's a description designed to activate the saliva glands, tell us, Tim, and separate you from your money. It's also fiction, at least partially, according to a recent lawsuit filed in U.S. District Court for the Northern District of California. The complaint alleges the ingredient billed as quote-unquote tuna for the chain sandwiches and wraps contains absolutely none, null, zero, ain't no tuna in that tuna sandwich. A representative of Subway said the claims are without merit. Well, what would you say, fucker? The tuna sold at the chain is wild caught, the company says, which is how the vast majority of tuna is harvested. Only a tiny percentage of bluefin and yellowfin tuna is farmed. The star ingredient, according to the lawsuit, is made from, and I quote, anything but tuna. I saw that for sale at the store last week. Anything but tuna is the new tuna. Yeah, anything but tuna. Based on independent lab tests of quote-unquote multiple samples, oh boy, I've had that come up in my cases before, multiple samples, dried residue. Based on independent lab tests of multiple samples taken from Subway locations in California, the quote-unquote tuna is quote-unquote a mixture of various concoctions that do not constitute tuna, yet have been blended together by defendants to imitate the appearance of tuna, according to the complaint. Shalini Dogra, one of the attorneys for the plaintiffs, declined to say exactly what ingredients the lab test revealed. Oh boy, Shalini, we know you know. That's right, Shalini. Shalini Dogra, one of the attorneys for the plaintiffs, declined to say exactly what ingredients the lab test revealed. And I quote, "We found that the ingredients were not tuna and not fish," the attorney said in an email to the Washington Post. Two plaintiffs are identified in the complaint, Karen Danoa and Nalima Amin, both residents of Alameda County in the Bay Area. But attorneys for Dahanonoa, I don't know how to fucking say that, and Amin hope to get their claim certified as a class action, which could open the case up to thousands of Subway customers in California who purchased tuna sandwiches and wraps after January the 21st, 2017. This is horrible. Danoa and Amin are suing Subway for fraud, intentional misrepresentation, unjust enrichment, and other claims under federal and state laws. Among other accusations, the plaintiffs argue they were, quote, were tricked into buying food items that wholly lack the ingredients they reasonably thought they were purchasing. Wow, a lawyer wrote that too. Based on Subway's labeling, packaging, and advertising. What's more, the plaintiffs argue Subway is, quote, saving substantial sums of money in manufacturing the products because the fabricated ingredient they use in the place of tuna costs less money. They argue they paid premium prices for an ingredient that they prize for its health benefits. Although the government suggests people, especially young children and pregnant women, limit their intake of tuna because of mercury contamination. In suburban Washington, for example, the price of a foot-long tuna sandwich at a Subway outlet costs $7.39. The same size cold-cut combo sandwich, by contrast, costs $6.19. Holy shit. And I quote, consumers are consistently misled into purchasing the products for the commonly known and/or advertised benefits and characteristics of tuna, when in fact no such benefits could be had, given the products are in fact devoid of tuna, the lawsuit claims. According to Subway's nutritional information page on its website, the tuna salad for its sandwiches contains flaked tuna in brine, mayonnaise, and an additive to protect flavor. A spokeswoman for Subway said the nutritional information is up to date, and I quote, tuna is one of our most popular sandwiches. Our restaurants receive pure tuna. Mix it with mayonnaise and serve on a freshly made sandwich to our guests, said Katya Knoll, Senior Director for Global Food Safety and Quality at Subway, in a statement to the Post. Subway spokeswoman Maggie Truax later issued a longer statement from the company. It reads in part, quote, these baseless accusations threaten to damage our franchisees, small business owners who work tirelessly to uphold the high standards that Subway sets for all of its products, including its tuna. Given the facts, the lawsuit constitutes a reckless and improper attack on Subway's brand and goodwill, and on the livelihood of its California franchisees. Indeed, there is no basis in law or fact for the plaintiff's claims, which are frivolous and are being pursued without adequate investigation. Unfortunately, this lawsuit is part of a trend in which the named plaintiff's attorneys have been targeting the food industry in an effort to make a name for themselves in that space. Subway will vigorously defend itself against these and any other baseless efforts to mischaracterize and tarnish the high-quality products that Subway and its franchisees provide to their customers in California and around the world, and intends to fight these claims through all available avenues if they are not immediately dismissed. Okay. Over the years, Subway, the chain with the largest number of locations in America, has been a frequent target for lawsuits, some more serious than others. In 2013, plaintiffs in a class action complaint accused the chain of selling $5 foot-long sandwiches that were only 11 to 11 and a half inches long. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit in Chicago eventually threw out the settlement in the case, calling it utterly worthless. The sandwich chain recently had to defend its bread, too, after Ireland's Supreme Court ruled that, as part of the protracted and legal and tax battle, Subway's hoagie-style rolls hoagie-style rolls did not meet the country's definition of a staple bread. Yeah. Over the years, franchisees have sued the company too, claiming Subway's regional structure and arbitrary inspection process unfairly pushed some owners out of business. In 2017, Subway filed a lawsuit of its own against the Canadian Broadcasting Corp, arguing that the public broadcaster defamed the chain in a report that claimed the company's poultry products contained only 50% chicken DNA. Ha 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 ha! I've discovered the solution to that mystery. The Ontario Superior Court dismissed Subway's lawsuit, saying the CBC's investigation met the quote-unquote public interest test. But the Ontario Court of Appeal recently reversed that decision and said Subway's $210 million defamation case should get a thorough hearing. Wow. The plaintiffs in the current case are seeking compensatory and punitive damages as well as attorney's fees. They also want Subway to end its alleged practice of mislabeling its tuna sandwiches and surrender profits it earned from the practice. The plaintiffs have retained the services of the Lanier Law Firm, a firm with offices in several cities, including Los Angeles. Lanier has been involved in several high-profile lawsuits, including a case in which 22 women claimed Johnson & Johnson's talcum powder products caused ovarian cancer. That's pretty bad. A jury awarded the plaintiffs $4.69 billion in damages in 2018. Lawyers saved the world. Yeah, there you go. The horrible truth, the truth that you didn't want to think about. The truth of the Subway tuna sandwich. But you remember a few days ago in my podcast, really about a week ago, where I talked about ocean chicken? You remember how the basin of the Gulf of Alaska has become irrevocably polluted by Fukushima radiation and Drungus and crap left over from that fucking Exxon Valdez bullshit? Yes, there are creatures living in the Gulf of Alaska. Subway knows about this. So does all the soup companies and, you know, KFC. This creature evolved in 2012 from what used to be Alaskan king crab and a few other animals that we can't identify. The creature looks almost like a human walking along the bottom of the Alaskan basin, hundreds of feet below the water. It walks along the surface almost, but not really, we don't know. It walks looking for food or some sort of miserable thing to eat. That's the reality. These are ocean chickens, people. This is ocean chicken. It's not tuna fish. It's not chicken. If it says they couldn't find the DNA, you know why? Because it's ocean chicken. That's what they're calling it. It's mutated, and it's bloody, and it's purple. And if you eat it raw, you'll die. Some Japanese sailors decided to eat an ocean chicken in 2015 raw. They decided raw was good. Yeah, we've talked enough about the ocean chicken, but this is what I would say. They're taking the ocean chicken, these weird-looking creatures that are currently populating the basin of the Gulf of Alaska, and they're dredging for them, and they're adding some special chemical that allows you to eat them. They have roughly the same texture of chicken. You can powderize them and turn them into McNuggets. You can chop them up and put them into soup cans. People barely tell the difference. And you know, Subway can do the same thing. I read many years ago that Subway was taking wrestling mat material and putting it into its bread. And that seemed ominous, like, holy shit, right? But actually, if you research the history of bread in the modern era, it's a shady, shady, shady business. And it coincides with the history of lumber mills. It's like when people say sawdust bread. Here's the thing. For several hundred years, bakers have been adding sawdust, essentially. Now they'll say cellulose, post-industrial food-grade cellulose. But what it really is sawdust, and they've been adding sawdust to bread for hundreds of years. This is not a new thing. You know, maybe the real innovation that we should applaud Subway for is adding the wrestling mat material to the bread. That's why it's so fluffy. That's why if you buy 50 Subways and you carry it around and you fall off a cliff and you happen to land on the Subways, you might live. Maybe. Next wretched topic. Ugh. I think I've talked about all this stupid shit. So I have a general theory of racism, and I just want to propose it very quickly. In fact, this will be the last core topic. My general theory of racism goes like this. The key to solving racism is to take this term, this word, and to force it to lose all its value. There was an electrical engineer, scientist, mathematician by the name of Claude Shannon who lived, you know, almost 100 years ago. And good old Claude had a theory or two. One of the things Claude believed is that you could define the value of information in terms of probability. For example, a signal that happens all the time, that does not change, no matter what you do. According to good old Claude Shannon, if a signal's probability, irrespective of the environment, is 100%, the signal has no meaning. And of course, the opposite of true is true. If there is no signal, there is no meaning. For Claude Shannon, the juicy space, the real space of information, exists in the middle somewhere. Okay? It is about probability. A signal that always occurs tells you nothing. A signal that never occurs obviously tells you nothing. But a signal that sometimes occurs, like a knock on the door, that coincides with a person being there, and hopefully not having a knife, that signal has meaning. So what if we simply call everybody racist? What if we simply go around and say, racist, 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 everybody's a racist, I'm a racist, you're a racist, the whole world is racist. After about a year of this, I think we'll be using this word and it won't mean anything. It'll be like whatever. Instead of saying whatever, we'll just say racist. If someone says, I don't really like that new Marvel Comics movie, you don't have to say whatever. You could just say racist. If someone says that they prefer soup to salad, you don't have to say okay or all right. You can just say racist. By that time, everyone will be called a racist. Everyone will call themselves racist. Everyone will look for racists. Everyone will see racist. That is my solution to racism. We simply go around pointing fingers at each other, calling each other racist. And I am convinced that many of you consider this completely and totally insane. But it might not be as crazy as you think. I don't really know. I can't tell you. But to close out this smaller, shorter little Saigon report, because clearly I'm obsessed with the ancient texts of Charles Manson. Dan, why can't you do more church services? You know what? I will. I'll do as many as the Holy Spirit, you know, inspires me to do. And I won't claim it's the Holy Spirit inspiring me to, you know, recover the lost lectures of Charles Manson. But it's something that's inspiring me. Could be the anal swab. Could be the ocean chicken. Could be the fact that in a few months, whatever chunk of scribbly shit, and maybe it's still further away. I kind of am surprised that we haven't had any food shortages yet. But when they actually do show up, whatever scribbly grease they shove into your face, you'll probably eat or you will go hungry, you know. And it probably won't be ocean chicken. They'll probably give it a name. They'll probably call it meat. And it'll come in a can with a label on it, meat. And you'll look inside and it'll have the consistency of pork. Maybe sometimes it'll have the consistency of flaky tuna. But it'll be called meat. It'll say meat on the can. You'll take that can of meat into your 10x5 cell. You'll turn on your Primus or your fucking, you know, hot plate or your hobo burner. You'll take your fucking sizzler or your grizzler. You'll light the fire of the corner of your darkness. You'll crack open a can labeled meat and you'll eat it. But you won't eat it with a smile. You won't eat it like it's Super Bowl Sunday, no. You'll eat it in the corner, sitting Indian style in the dark. You'll eat it in the corner as the lights overhead swing every which direction, the darkness, the searchlights looking for people out in the lockdown after curfew. You'll eat it miserably as the drones fly around to look inside your fucking windows, and you'll hide in the dark, shadowy corner, and you'll eat your can of meat. If you listen to the Little Saigon Report and you have taken care of your food, your water, your shelter, if you've currently saved up all the money you need to save for what's coming, if you've helped out the people you love and the people you care about, and after doing all of this, you still have money left over, and you also like the Little Saigon Report, whether it's 30 minutes, 40 minutes, an hour, whether I'm talking to somebody or just talking to myself, if you actually enjoy it and you want to donate, please do. At this point in time, I'm not sure what the fucking point is. I don't. I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know what kind of good I could possibly be doing. We live in such a fucking wretched police state that should be fucking obvious to everybody, but people don't see it because they still feel like their bellies are full. They can still get their Subway tuna sandwich made from 100% ocean chicken and wrestling mats. And that makes them happy. It's because of the chemical in the ocean chicken. It's a compound. Get it while it lasts.